If you'd like to listen to the Daily Blast, plus all of our other DSR content without ads, please consider becoming a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, and enhanced show notes for select shows. For this week only, get 50% off the first year or first month of membership. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and use code GREG to receive the discount. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code GREG. Thank you very much for your support.
This is the Daily Blast from the New Republic, produced and presented by the DSR Network. I'm your host, Greg Sargent.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential run is back in the news. Fears are rising this week among Democrats that RFK's spoiler bid will help Donald Trump win the White House again. And Kennedy's campaign is now expressing confidence that he'll appear on the ballot in all 50 states, which means in all the key swing states where he very well may siphon off votes from President Biden. All this comes as the extended Kennedy clan is taking new steps to mobilize in response, that is, against their own family members' candidacy. Why all the urgency? Today we're discussing this with Jill Lawrence, a veteran journalist who's written a new piece for The Bulwark, spotlighting the role the Kennedys are poised to play in stopping RFK Jr. from serving as pro-Trump spoiler. Welcome, Jill.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Jill, in your piece, you lay out something I haven't seen detailed in quite this way before. The extensive series of public statements made by members of the Kennedy family to warn America about RFK Jr. There's Kerry Kennedy, who's RFK's sister and daughter of the older Robert Kennedy and Ethel, who has issued an astonishing series of statements. Numerous of RFK's other siblings, Kathleen, Rory, Joseph II, have also weighed in. They've strongly condemned his really outlandish statements, the anti-vax stuff, the COVID conspiracy theories, etc. Can you walk us through some of that?
Well, it started when he first got on, when he announced his campaign a year ago, and he was running at that time as a Democrat. And, you know, the Kennedys have this enormous family legacy, and particularly Kerry Kennedy is president of a foundation in her father's name that's dedicated to human rights. And so it's interesting. I mean, she immediately put out a statement saying that his views she disagreed with, and they do not represent what the foundation is doing or its mission. And so that was, you know, a big separation, an attempt to put distance, to retain the family identity and not let him run away with it. And, you know, she not only said, we disagree with you on vaccines and that sort of thing. She said, we disagree with my brother on the role of policing misinformation on the internet. And he has a big role with that, especially medical misinformation. So that was the start. The most recent sign that the Kennedys were ramping up came on St. Patrick's Day at the White House, when dozens of them, over four dozen from my count in the picture, posed with President Biden at the White House. And it was clear that they were stepping up and they wanted to be very visible in terms of, you know, this is who we're for and we're not for our brother, our cousin. It was a direct rebuke and a sign of things to come.
Absolutely. And the statements seem really, really pointed against RFK now. Some of them explicitly endorse Biden, as you say, and some of them even expressly say that RFK is running against Biden and that his candidacy will help Trump. I think the Kennedys plainly see RFK functioning as a secret spoiler for Trump now. You've been observing these people for a while. What explains the statements taking direct aim at a spoiler role?
Well, things just keep happening that are suspect. For instance, a woman who said that her goal was to reelect Trump, and you know, they fired her, but there she was. The other thing to look at with RFK Jr. is that he's not the only independent candidate running. But he is the one of the three that has the most support. And it's a very weird combination of support. He's the last national poll I looked at, he had about 14%. And people who don't know him very well are attracted to the name. People who do know what he stands for are kind of Trumpy, and they think, you know, it's the Fox News adjacency that they're attracted to, and the Trump adjacency, and the fact that he's somebody different. And so, you know, he has the most potential of any of the three to really throw a wrench into the race.
Let me pick up on what you just said there about the nature of his support. I think the Kennedy family has a potential role here that is built into the structure of the situation. What I've argued is that RFK benefits from a kind of twofer. He enjoys high name recognition and is positively associated with the Kennedy family, but his crackpot positions are simultaneously not at all well known to voters. So he has the best of both worlds, doesn't he? This is why I think his support has been a bit inflated, and it does look as if his national support as a share of the vote might be declining now, with the increased focus on what he actually believes. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, if it's starting to decline now, imagine how it's going to decline in the coming months when there's Biden attack ads and there's Kennedy attack ads from his own family. It can really have an impact. And the more of them that do it, the more of them that get together on it, the more impact it will have. And so there's also, there was a focus group that I wrote about of Pennsylvania voters. And of course, a focus group is just a focus group. It was 11 people, but six of them said on the first round that they would take, you know, RFK Jr. because he wasn't Trump or Biden. And when the abortion argument was made, when they saw an ad, a Biden ad about a woman who nearly died from not being able to get an abortion, when they were confronted with the idea that they could elect Trump by doing this, they began reconsidering. You get the feeling listening to them that they were making an impulsive choice. And so it seems to me, you know, the perfect doubleheader would be the Kennedys talking about abortion and don't throw your vote away on a protest vote.
The focus group you're talking about there really illustrates again that RFK, who has said he's pro-choice, could hurt Biden, right? Because anti-choice voters are more likely to stick with the Republican Party. They sense momentum for their cause. The Republican Party is unequivocally in their camp, and RFK isn't, right? But here you see that these low information, low propensity voters who are pro-choice kind of bounce around between Biden and RFK. And by the way, further underscoring your point, remember the New York Times reported that those allies of Donald Trump have a complex plan in place to highlight RFK's pro-choice stance, expressly to drive voters from Biden to RFK, right?
I'm not sure that's going to work, but I mean, you know, the Kennedys can make sure it doesn't if they get involved. I'm not sure they're going to want to talk about abortion, but it seems like one of the paths they could use because it's certainly at stake. And, you know, if you believe these polls, 81% want Roe v. Wade back, where people just did what they thought they needed to and were allowed to for the most part. So, and, you know, the problem for Republicans and for a spoiler candidate like RFK Jr. is that this issue doesn't seem to go away. It just keeps coming up and, you know, it pops up in a 19th century law, in a state Supreme Court decision, you know, in the cases that the U.S. Supreme Court is getting and considering. So it's just, you know, I mean, yeah, someone said we're all going to get really tired of talking about it by November, but it's a big deal if you need one. It's a huge deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really fascinating thought that you have here, that the Kennedy family could really ramp up by going hard at the idea that a vote for RFK Jr. is functionally a vote to gut abortion rights and potentially to result in a national abortion ban. By the way, Democratic research I've reported on finds that when voters are informed that many of the Kennedys oppose RFK's candidacy. It's a big negative against him. So that's another way the family clearly can get out there more. They can just say in ads and in events and in public statements that they absolutely oppose RFK's candidacy and vote Biden. What do you anticipate from them on that? A full-throated effort?
I really do. Mary Beth Cahill, who is from Massachusetts and knows them well and is a very, high-level operative, she's been hired to do some work. And I can't help but feel that that was no accident and that there'll be some very smart people helping them with their approach because, this is really crucial. I mean, it's crucial to the work that a lot of them do, that they are not blamed for the defeat of Biden. You know, it's crucial for their own legacy, the history of their family, and it's crucial for the country going forward, and not just on abortion. I mean, there's a lot of issues they could spotlight that would be tremendously damaged if Biden didn't win. And so, you know, that is why you have them using words like dangerous and perilous. And you have his cousin, we didn't talk about this, his cousin, Jack Schlossberg, talking about how, you know, he's trying to capitalize on Camelot and celebrity and that he, you know, it's an empty type of enterprise that could really be ruinous for the country. So, you know, I think there's a lot of routes they could take. Some voters are more interested in democracy than abortion. That's another route they could take. Rule of law, democracy, elections. There's an endless array. And I think, you know, not to criticize Biden as a messenger. I mean, he's been pretty impressive considering he's never been Mr. Charisma. The Kennedys just have a lot of different people who can get out there and really, really spread whatever word everyone decides. I mean, I think that if they do this in a smart way and they work hard at it, that they could not only fend off, you know, their relative spoiler effect, they could also really make a sort of a positive contribution to the campaign.
It's definitely an interesting scenario for sure. Kennedy is well positioned to pull in disaffected voters, in part because he's got this range of positions associated with a kind of older line radical anti-government left. He sort of talks that language sometimes. Yet in recent years, he's really become a reactionary, spouting a lot of these red-pilled right-wing positions as well. We saw him relentlessly downplaying January 6th, for instance, recently. That's a good example. I need some help making sense of this. On the one hand, you'd think RFK propagandizing about January 6th might be a bid for Trump voters, right? But on the other, he attacks Biden as a big threat to democracy, which could appeal to a certain type of independent who's turned off by Trump and might consider Biden, but instead could go to RFK. And the data does clearly show that RFK pulls more from Biden than Trump. How do you make sense of all this, this kind of weird stew of positions that he kind of seems to have bundled all together? And do we think it really threatens Biden more than Trump?
I think the problem is you can't tell. I mean, these conspiracy theorists, and he's been, you know, there's been a study of 156 top super spreaders of medical misinformation, and he's number one. I mean, you can't make sense. I mean, one of the points in the piece is that he was a science-based lawyer. He was an environmental lawyer, just like, you know, Paul Gosar, the congressman whose family has also done brutal ads against him. He was a dentist. He was a doctor. And he used to be pro-fluoride. Can anyone explain why now he's anti-fluoride? No, no one can. You know, it's this mix that's not—it's not consistent. It's not rational. It's not fact-based. It's from all over the spectrum and all over the conspiracy theory spectrum. And it's coming in the middle of an election that's more or less a jump ball, and nobody knows, you know, exactly how it's going to work. But he, you know, if he gets double digits, he's going to spoil it for somebody. Even if he gets high single digits, he'll spoil it for somebody. And you know, the Kennedys, I think, feel just absolutely driven to make sure it's not going to spoil it for Biden.
Like I said, you've observed these people for a while. I mean, The Kennedy establishment is a long-time fixture in U.S. politics, right? Half century more. What explains kind of the deep alarm here? You said something earlier about it really threatening the Kennedy legacy, and that's part of it. Can you go into that a little more? I find that fascinating.
Well, Ted Kennedy wrote the immigration bill that gave us all of our current, you know, immigration policies and diversity and creativity and economic activity. It's just, you know, until recently, it's been considered an asset to have immigration economically and intellectually and just in terms of competing in the world. And that's, you know, that's, so that's part of the legacy. Human rights and anti-poverty, that's the RFK legacy. You know, civil rights, racial equality, that's the JFK legacy. The whole family has this amazing portfolio of progress and ideals that they have left. And, you know, I think that the Kennedys are terrified that if they don't get involved and get Biden reelected, that it will be, you know, they will be blamed for throwing the election, for their relative throwing the election. I mean, not that these people are controllable. You can't control them. You know, he's going to do what he's going to do, but you can certainly get out there in the most visible way, and you have command of media, and, you know, it's newsworthy and noteworthy. We are talking about it right here, that they are involved and planning to ramp up. And so, you know, I just feel like if I were them, I would feel a certain desperation. I mean, I understand the Congressman Gosar family not wanting to be identified with this person who's anti-immigrant and into conspiracies and anti-science and boycotted the Pope's speech because he thought he might talk about the flawed and leftist climate science. This is a dentist who went, you know, who's a scientist. So it's, you know, there's a lot of family imperatives, but I think they know that if Biden doesn't win, there's a lot of peril for the country and peril for the legacy they'd leave.
Ted Kennedy is probably the only prominent lawmaker in recent memory who has really devoted himself to the cause of immigrants. We just don't have anyone in American politics who plays that role in quite the same way. Ted Kennedy, of course, passed away a while ago. And maybe in keeping with what you're suggesting here, another argument the Kennedy family could make is that you cannot imagine something more damaging and at odds with the legacy of Ted Kennedy than Donald Trump's plan to set up enormous detention camps for immigrants and deport millions and millions of them on day one of his presidency. Is that a good argument too?
That in normal times would be a good argument. I'm not sure whether that's the argument I would go with right now because immigration is such a hot button, such a lightning rod. You know, I think Democrats have a good comeback, you know, in terms of the bill, the bipartisan compromise that was reached in terms of here's what we're going to do with the border. We're going to fix it. We're going to fund it. We're going to fix it. We're going to make it orderly. We're going to have limits and everyone's going to know what they are. And, you know, that, and we're going to have, people aren't going to be waiting 2-3 years to find out whether they could stay. So, you know, that is a good argument. I think maybe in some areas, in some, you know, some niche type, I don't know, Greg, I would love for them to do that because I love what Kennedy stood for, what Teddy Kennedy stood for, but I'm just not sure it's the right argument right now when there are so many other ones.
Yeah, I think that there's no doubt that the abortion argument and the democracy argument would be far superior. One thing I'd point out, though, is that if there's any chance of neutralizing the immigration issue right now, the strategy would be to do what you suggest, which is to point to the fact that Republicans killed a border security and border compromise bill after Trump commanded them to, but also to point to how insanely extreme Donald Trump's plans are, right? He has created an opening to shift the conversation back to him on this issue. And a lot of middle of the road voters kind of instinctually gravitate to the position that in some general sense, immigrants and immigration are good for the country. And Ted Kennedy stood very much for that proposition. So maybe it would have to be focused at certain constituencies and at certain niches and so forth. But there probably is a way to make the argument that Donald Trump is deeply and profoundly at odds with what the Kennedys stood for on immigration. I think JFK wrote a book about immigrants, didn't he?
Well, didn't Donald Trump recently say that he did want immigrants if they were come from Norway?
Yeah, right. I mean, I think that that's pretty much at odds with what the Kennedys have said about the issue over the decades, isn't it?
Well, there's the permission structure that Trump gives on race and ethnicity, you know, to just be as prejudiced as you want. And that's completely, completely opposed to how the Kennedys operated.
Right. You could maybe make it about race, right? Like race and racism. That's solid ground for Democrats to go after Trump on and to highlight where the Kennedys stood.
And also that, you know, by wasting a protest vote on any of the three, Cornel West or Jill Stein or RFK Jr., who are running independently, you're jeopardizing Biden's chances.
Yeah. What do you anticipate in the coming months from the Kennedy family?
Well, I think ads are the way to go, and maybe some of them will be interviewed. You know, it'll be interesting to see who emerges as the chief spokespeople. I mean, some of them, you know, like the Gosar family, you know, some of those people are engineers or, you know, pilots or whatever they are. They don't want to get too political. They don't want to get out there. But the Kennedys, there are some of them that are used to this and that are players. And I think we'll be seeing a lot of them. I mean, if Stephen Smith can make his first social media post over this, you know, anything can happen. You know, and I think they're just going to work hard and I think they're going to do smart things. And I think they're going to do research, you know, about what works and what doesn't work. And I mean, already, you know, these focus groups in Pennsylvania have kind of shown in real time that, you know, yes, a small number, but more than half of the 11 people in this group were for RFK until they started thinking about what it would mean for abortion to throw away their vote. And the same is true of any issue that people care about. So it's just a question of pushing that button, you know, finding that argument. Don't waste your vote if you care about whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it looks to me like the Kennedy family is going to be deeply engaged and in a way that I think is really kind of unprecedented, just as so much else is about this election. Jill Lawrence, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
You've been listening to The Daily Blast with me, your host, Greg Sargent. The Daily Blast is a New Republic podcast and is produced by Riley Fessler and the DSR Network.